soul here the world don't pull at. There's not a soul here that doesn't go through a trial. Not a soul here that hadn't faced death. Not a soul here that hadn't lost a loved one. Not a soul here that hadn't faced financial difficulty. We all go through things. But we don't waver. We keep serving God. We put Him first. We trust Him. We put our faith in Him. Don't be double-minded. Literally, it means what I said, and it also it denotes that we are divided between God and the world. I don't know what I want to believe. I don't know whether I'm going to serve God or not. It depends on the situation. You have to make up your mind. Either you're going to love God and serve Him, or you're not. So I said, if you expect to have your name called when the roll is called up yonder, you better be present when it's called down here. You better be in the rank and file. Just the way it is. It means to be, literally, to be two-souled. You're torn between the carnal and the spiritual. Well, I get up every morning, I make up my mind, although I'm being pulled by the world, things are going on, I get up and make up my mind, I'm going to serve God. When I'm tempted, I have to make a decision. Am I going to fall into the, am I going to follow the temptation? Am I going to follow the things that my flesh might want? Or am I going to follow God? I've got to make up my mind. Every day. Make up my mind. I'm going to follow God. What would be easier to go their way? Sometimes, yeah, it would. Sure it would. But I made up my mind. I'm going to follow God. I'm not going to throw away 40 years of Christianity so I can have a moment of pleasure. My mind's made up. I've made the decision. I'm going to follow God. I'm not double-minded. And you shouldn't be either. You can't be double-minded. God doesn't like that. Well, God loves me. Yes, He does. He cares a lot about you. Jesus said this in Matthew 6, verse 22 through 24. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body is full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body is full of darkness. Therefore, if the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. That's the word of Jesus. Either you're in light or you're in darkness. Either your eye is full of light or it's full of darkness. You got to make up your mind. You can't have it both ways. And I'm going to tell you something. If you ain't serving God with all your heart, you're probably in darkness. Let's just get down where the rubber hits the road. There are not very many avenues to go to heaven. There's a straight and there's a narrow. And the Bible says few find it. But there's a broad way that leads to destruction. And the Bible says many enter therein. We got to quit fooling ourselves. That we could just do what we want, when we want it, and then come back to God when we want Him. Treat Him like some big Father in heaven who's just waiting to bestow things upon us at our beckoning, come to our call just when we're in trouble, but don't want anything to do with Him any other time. You parents here, there's a lot of parents here. How you like it when your kid never comes to you for anything except when they're in trouble? Never comes sets you in your lap and hugs on you when you know what I mean? They never show you any affection, except when they have a problem, and here they come. Here they come. That's how we treat God. That's how we treat God. It's very simple to understand. If your eye is bad, no light can come in, and you're left in darkness because of it. Very simple. If your light's bad, your eye's bad, you don't see right. You can't see. You got to have light. How much worse then is if your problem is not just physical, but spiritual? You're in trouble. I'm going to tell you, Jesus said He expects us to live a straight life, a good life, a clean life, a moral life, a life full of repentance. Just the way it is. You see, the problem is this. If there's an internal corruption of one's whole nature so that darkness can't actually comes from within and affects your whole being, that's the problem. Because if our eye's not right and our life's not right, there's darkness in us. And that darkness comes out and it affects everything. You can hide it for a while. And you may even hide it from the church. And you can hide it from the preacher. But you ain't hiding nothing from God. God sees it. He knows that you're full of wickedness. He knows that your heart's not right. You may come up here and shout like David would shout and dance like David would dance, but God knows that you're dancing over and shouting over sin. I'd a lot rather have somebody to worship in spirit and truth and be sincere as somebody to run the aisle. When they open their eyes, they're still walking straight. Well, I'm having fun. I hope you are too. See, if you're divided in your loyalty, there's going to be constant conflict. Always something pulling at you. Because you're divided. You haven't made up your mind. You don't know which direction you want to go, so you're divided. House divided can't stand. So you're divided. You don't know. It's just pulling at me, so I'll go do this. And then God pulls at you. So, well, okay, I'll. You got to make up your minds. You're going to serve God or not. Everybody has conflict. Everybody has trials. You're going to make up your mind. I'm going to serve God regardless. I'm going to serve God regardless. I've made up my mind. Romans 8, verses 5 through 8 says this. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those that are in the flesh cannot please God. Cannot please God. If you're walking according to the flesh, the lust of the flesh, the desire of the flesh, you are not pleasing God. Well, preacher, you're saying we can't do nothing to have any fun? I didn't say that. And the Bible doesn't teach that. God said, Jesus said, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. There are things in this life that he has given us and he expects us to enjoy them. But he doesn't want those things that he's given us to enjoy and to enhance our lives, to make our lives better, to become our gods. When Moses went up on the mountain, he went up to, they just had this great deliverance. Remember that over in Genesis. Or Exodus. They just had this great deliverance. They've been brought out of 400 years, almost 400 years of bondage. And they're at the foot of the mountain. And God tells Moses to go up and get some commandments for them to live by, some rules to live by. Well, he's gone quite a while. So they get a little bit restless. And say, they go to Aaron, Moses' brother, and say, hey, man, you're good at making things. Make us an idol. We'll bring you all the silver and all the gold and all the jewels, and you make us something to worship. And what happened when their heart was divided? They weren't loyal to God any longer. What happened? Moses came down. He found them naked, exposed, drinking, full of debauchery, full of sexual immorality. And he'd just been gone a few days. Church, if we don't watch it, we'll be led astray by things that God has given us to enjoy. When they left Egypt, they brought out all the jewels, all the gold, all the silver. They took the cattle, the sheep. God let them plunder that area of Egypt and take it with them to enjoy and to use. And they polluted it because they were drawn away of their own lust. And when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. We need to hear this more often. You cannot serve two masters, Jesus said. Either you're loyal to one and despise the other. You must serve God with all your heart. To be spiritually minded is life. We've got to set our affections, our minds, our mental process upon the things of God. The unbeliever sets it upon things that satisfies the flesh. They don't care about serving God. They don't care about satisfying God's righteous standards. They just want to satisfy the flesh. You can't do that, church. It's time for you to hear that. Either you're righteous or you're not. There's no two ways about it. Well, preacher, you're going to make it to, you're putting this burden on me today. No, I'm not. I'm going to give you hope here in just a little bit. I'm going to give you some hope. There's a way out. I've lived for God a long time, 40 years. That doesn't mean without trouble, doesn't mean without trial, doesn't mean without temptation, but it means that we've overcome, and we stayed steadfast, we've been unmovable, we've trusted God to bring us through. When we were tempted, we let God help us through the temptation, for he says there's no temptation taking such as common to man, but that God would not make a way of escape. So we've looked for the avenues of escape, and we took them. And when we didn't, we got lured away, then we were convicted and sorrowful and repented. So, if you are carnally minded and you have the mind of the flesh, you're dead today. You are spiritually dead. You might be just as alive as anybody in this room, but spiritually you're dead. The Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. One of these days we're all going to stand before God. We're going to give account for ourselves. That is frightening. That is frightening to think I got to give account to everything I've done, everything I've said, every idle thought. But we will. But you see, if you have a spiritual mind and your heart and mind is set on the things of the Spirit, you'll be alive and at peace with God. You have peace, the peace of God. See, a person that doesn't know Jesus cannot quote that scripture in the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. They don't have that peace of God that surpasses all understanding. They don't understand about that. They can't understand about it. The carnal mind cannot understand about the things of God. They can't conceive. They just can't even remotely know about God. That's why somebody that criticizes your Christianity, you can almost just smile at them and say, you know, you really don't know what you're talking about, because they don't. They are spiritually discerned. And they're not spiritual. They can't know about Christianity. They may think they may know about Christianity. They don't know true Christianity. They may have an idea about it, but they don't really know about it, because they've not been a Christian. They just know what they think it is. A double-minded person cannot be at peace. You're not spiritually alive. Your mind and your heart are divided between God and the world. And man, I tell you what, when your loyalties are divided, it is hard, isn't it? It is hard. In other words, just get down where it's at. A person is a hypocrite who occasionally believes God but fails to trust Him and only serves Him sporadically. Can I say that again? Thank you. A person is a hypocrite who occasionally believes God but fails to trust Him and only serves Him sporadically. God expects faithfulness. Regardless of your age, regardless of your career choice, regardless of any life choices you make, God expects faithfulness. No matter what place you are in your life, He expects faithfulness. Faithfulness begins at the house of God. God expects you to be faithful to your local church. Preacher, you're just aggravated because so many weren't here last week. No, I'm not. Well, a little bit. Why am I aggravated about that? Not because people took vacations and trips. They told me they was going. Pastor, we're going to take a trip. We're not going to have a vacation this week. This weekend's going to be our vacation. We'll be missing. That's good. Go have fun. But well, I'm not talking about that group. That's faithful the rest of the year. Faithful in everything they do. I'm talking about that group. Don't know whether they want to go to church or not. Unfaithful, unstable. Double-minded person's unstable in all their ways. Don't know whether they want to go to church or not. Church doors are open. They might be there. They might not. When they walk in, you're just like, yes, they're here today. They don't come. You go, well, I expected it. Can't depend on them, can you? Wow, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm talking about some of you who listen to me today. You're unfaithful. Not just to this church, you're unfaithful to God. You're double-minded. God can't use you. Church can't use you. We want you to keep coming, but you're almost worthless. He say that? Yes, I did. We can't put you in as a Sunday school teacher. We can't make you an usher. We'll never vote you on the board. You'll never get to preach. Why? Why, preacher? Because you're unfaithful. Can't depend on you. Don't know whether you're going to be there or not. Well, you're hateful. No, I'm not. I'm truthful. I'm open. I'm honest. I can't use you. I want to, but I can't. About the time I think you're about to get there, you do it again. God's looking for people who are steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. You see, when you're double-minded, it's enmity against God. An unbeliever or double-minded person's problems are much deeper than just acts of disobedience. Their acts are just outward manifestations of inner fleshly compulsions. The flesh, you're led of the flesh, instead of the spirit. The flesh rules. The flesh overrules any spiritual idea you might have. The basic inclination is gratifying oneself. Well, let me tell you something. We all have that inclination. That flesh inclination is in all of us. The flesh wants to be satisfied. The flesh wants to be pampered. The flesh wants to do what it wants to do. But when you're in the spirit, you cannot totally please your flesh. But when you really sell out to God, then you are really pleasing yourself. And you're satisfied with your living, your life. It may not be going all the way you want it to go, but you're satisfied it's going the way God wants it to go. And you're satisfied that should the rapture take place, you're going to go. When the roll's called up yonder, you'll be there. Because you chose the better way. If you read the story of Jesus, you read through the four Gospels, you'll see that Jesus began to do good. And he performed all these miracles. And all of a sudden, he had a great following. Read it. He had a great following. But then he got down to where we would say the rubber meets the road and began to preach righteousness and holiness and abstaining from fleshly lust. And all of a sudden, the Bible says a great number of them turned away because his sayings were hard. They were hard. And it's like, what? We just want healed. We just want the demonic. We want to see all these things happen. We want to be fed. We want to feel good. I want my belly full. I was there when he took them little fish and them little few loaves of bread and turned it into enough to feed 5,000. I'm going to follow this guy. I'll eat every day. It was all about the flesh. You see, when it's all about the flesh, when things go wrong and don't go the way you want to, what happens? You become unfaithful. You fall away. Because you're not being led of the Spirit of God, you're being led by your flesh. You want something that titillates, something that tickles your ears, something that makes you feel good, makes the hair on the back of your neck. Oh, did you hear him preach that today? The hair on the back of my neck stood up. It was so good. You walk out, you go home, your wife slaps you upside the head, and you lose everything you had because you didn't have nothing to start with. She don't even have to slap you physically. She just says something you don't like, and all of a sudden you blow up and go crazy because you didn't have it to start with. You're double-minded. You're unstable in all your ways, the Bible says. See, a double-minded person may seem religious, they may seem moral, but in reality they're hostile to God. They don't want nothing to do with God. They're hostile. You stir them up, and what happens? They get hostile. Get angry. And even the good deeds that they do are done for selfish reasons and from a heart that's in rebellion. They do them because they think it's going to make them look good. It's going to make them feel good. It's going to elevate them in the sight of somebody. When God all along has looked at the heart and knows, hey, you're in trouble again. James 4:4, so what he says about it over there. Listen to this. You adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? James wrote that as a question. Do you not understand? Do you not know Wherefore, whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. But I love Jesus. Not if you love the world. The Bible says you're an enemy of God. And if you're an enemy of God, you're an enemy of Jesus. He's God in the flesh. Preacher, I don't like this. I'm not accepting it. Well, that is your prerogative. That's your choice. That'll lead to your demise. And if you keep that attitude up, that'll lead to your eternity in hell. Not because you didn't like me, but because you refused to heed and hearken to the Word of God. And love this world in the flesh more than you love God. Or, he says in verse 5, do you think the Scripture says in vain, the Spirit who dwell in us yearns jealously? Not the Spirit of God, but that man's spirit that's in us, our living spirit, gives us life. He is jealous and doesn't want you to have the things of God. The Spirit of God does. So the man's spirit is jealous of the things of God. Doesn't want you to have that. Tries to lead you astray. This flesh. So when he says adulterers and adulteresses, it's a metaphor for spiritual unfaithfulness. You unfaithful men and women, he said. You unfaithful people. You mean they had them back then? Yes. Do they have them now? Absolutely. Will they have them tomorrow? You better know it. There'll always be unfaithful people. There'll always be double-minded people. But you have hope today. He's talking about professing Christians. When James wrote this, he wrote to the professing Christians, you unfaithful men and women, you are double-minded. You outwardly associate with the church, but inwardly you have an affection for the world. You're double-minded. The world means more to you than the church. Your next vacation means more than the church. Your raise at the job means more than you do to the church. You just want to do everything except serve God. But you want the blessing of God. You just don't want to serve God. You see, that person, that double-minded person, this adulterer, this adulteress, this unfaithful person, that he's this double-minded person, has a deep and intimate longing for all the world has to offer. They have a strong emotional attachment to the world and the things of the world, and that is evidence that they are not redeemed. If you love the world more than you love God, you are not redeemed. Preacher, you're a hateful dude today. No, I'm trying to help you understand that we've got to live for God and we've got to be pure in heart and we've got to be sincere about it. I want you to go to heaven with me. Don't you want to go to heaven? I would think everybody here wants to go to heaven. I mean, the opposite of that is hell. Either you don't want to go to heaven or you just don't believe in, you know, you think, well, I'm going to die, that's it. No, it's not. That's it, all right. You're going to face eternity lost. So, that's evidence. If you love the world more than you love God, you may not even be redeemed. You're not even saved. 1 John 2:15-17 says this. Do not love the world or the things in the world. I mean, the Bible's, I could give you a lot more scriptures than what I have. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Why in the world would we want to follow the flesh for a brief period of time? What do you mean brief? I mean, if you live to be 100, it is a brief period of time. Eternity, I know it's hard to grasp in our little minds. And I'm not degrading you, but it's hard for our human minds to grasp eternity. how long it is, but it never ends. Once you die, you're thrust into eternity, and how you lived is how you will die, and that's how you will meet God. And eternity is forever. No end to it. So you would rather serve the devil, serve mammon, serve the lust of your flesh, the lust of your eyes, the pride of life, for a very, very brief amount of time, rather than serve God for this same brief amount of time, that would ensure that you spend eternity with God for a non-ending amount of time. How dumb is that? I want to serve the flesh for this 100 years. It's going to be so much fun. I want to drink, and I want to carouse, and I want to cuss, and I want to have affairs, and I'm just going to have fun all the time. I'm never going to go to church, and I'm not going to give my money to that church, and I'm not giving any of my time, and I'm just going to do what I want, and man, I'm going to live forever. I'm going to live for 100 years. I have so much fun. Well, let me start with, folks, you're not going to have that much fun for 100 years. Life's full of trouble. You're going to have a lot of trouble in that 100 years. Secondly, when you get toward that 100-year mark, your body is going to break down. And that carousing and that drinking and that dope using, you might not make it past 35. You might die before you're 50. Boy, but I had fun. Yeah. And then you're going to go to a devil's hell where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, punishment every day, separation from everything and everybody, and heat. Immense heat that burns you, but you don't burn up. That hurts and never stops. Oh, it's worth it. It's so worth it. No, it's not. But that's what you must be thinking because you don't serve God. You must be thinking this life is worth it. You must think that relationship is worth it. You must think that other peel is worth it. That other clandestine, that other affair in the dark is worth it. It's not. You're double-minded. You see, the world is the enemy of Christian because it is in opposition and rebellion against God. We must not allow openings for this satanic influence in our lives. There's lots of things that influence you, the TV and the computer and just different things out there, all times of advertisement, and just people will lure you away. Lots of things will lure you away. See, the world often seems attractive and appealing, but it's not. The Bible calls it pleasures of sin for a season. Pleasures of sin for a season. The world is passing away, but God's word abides forever and ever and ever. So, if you're double-minded today, I'm getting ready to close. The sobering truth is this, that when we are more in love with the world than we are with Jesus, we are the enemies of God. If you're double-minded today and you love the world more than God, you're enemies of God. If you're serving the world and not serving Christ, you're enemies of God. If that's come more important to you than serving Christ, you're an enemy of God. God crushes his enemies. But before he does, he's going to give you hope. He's going to send help. He'll convict you by the Holy Spirit. He'll draw you to become a Christian. He'll draw you and convict you, Christian, to repent. There's hope today. There's a remedy. James 4:8 says this. draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. You see, we have to be truly afflicted, wretched, and miserable about our sin. We have to be truly afflicted and broken over our sin. It's too many people, they're not afflicted about it. They're not, it doesn't bother them to have sinned. Does it bother them that they're walking in sin? Does it bother that they're habitually sinning against God? They don't mourn over it. Many in the church do things. The Holy Spirit convicts them of it, and they override that conviction, and they never want to mourn. They never want to weep. They don't want to be bothered with it. Pretty soon their hearts are hardened and seared over. God stops dealing with you. You're in trouble when God stops dealing. But God will not turn away a heart that's truly contrite and broken over their sin. Mourning is the inner response to our sin. Weeping is an outward manifestation of the inner sorrow over our sin. If a person's truly repentant, first they mourn. God reveals it to them. They mourn over it. And then they'll go to their face on their knees, somehow make an altar, and they'll weep. They'll weep over their sin. They'll have remorse. I don't believe you, preacher. You better believe it. A person that really repents, 99% of the time, will weep. They'll cry. They're sorry for what they've done. They'll ask God to forgive them, and they'll mean it. They'll weep over their sin. It's an outward manifestation, and we are to purify our hearts. That means separate ourselves from the world, consecrate ourselves unto God, and renounce all sins. That's how you purify your heart. Consecrate yourself to God, renounce the world, separate from the world, and renounce your sins. That's how you do it. True repentance always brings mercy. True repentance will bring mercy. If you want to repent, God will give you mercy. If you want to change your past and give yourself a good future, I'd suggest today that you repent of your sin. Wednesday night, we spoke something similar towards the altar call. Our hearts were heavy. We were full of remorse. And we wept before God for a while. Wasn't very many here, but the altar was full. Hearts were bowed. Lives were changed. The lives of those who were here. Would you stand with me today? I know this seems hard, but it's not really. It's just the Word of God that will benefit you if you'll take it to heart, let the Spirit of the Lord deal with you, and then respond to what God says. Altar's open. If the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, is dealing with you, you ought to come. If you're satisfied in being double-minded, you like the place you're at in your life right now, doesn't matter to you whether you go to heaven or hell, stay where you're at. Doesn't matter. matters, but only you can make that choice. I will not come back there, take you by the hand or by the back of the neck and drag you to the altar.
Righteousness,
I won't do it. I'm pleading with you right now. If this is you, don't harden your heart. Don't turn your back on God. Come and repent. Come and repent. We're not passing judgment. We're not saying you're a bad person if you're in the altar this morning. But everybody needs to get right with God and stay right with God. Is there anybody? Come on. Come on. If you're really right with God today and you know it, come wrap your arm around some of these people and just pray with them. Just come pray with them. But if you come, be sincere. Be sincere. Be sincere.
Take my mind.
Let God transform you today. Let God transform you today. Let God be God in your life today. Let the Holy Spirit minister peace and joy into your heart today. Let Him do the work. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for these that have responded today to your word and to the wooing of your spirit. Thank you, Lord, for the outpouring of the Holy Ghost in our church. Thank you, Lord, that you are making new today many lives. People are dedicating themselves to you, Father.
Righteousness is what I long for. Righteousness is what I need. Righteousness is what you want from me. Faithfulness is what I long for. Faithfulness is what I need. Faithfulness is what you want from me.